We have been on this subject of a healthy church for quite some time, and we've covered a lot of subjects. And with the section we're on now is the responsibilities of a local church, and the subjects we've covered so far. I'm just talking here for right now, so we'll get there in a minute. We've talked about praying for one another, acknowledging and caring for the pastor, love one another, study scripture, refrain from gossip, pursue holiness, and helping people with loneliness are the subjects that we've covered so far. And I want to start tonight by challenging us with a thought. I had an encounter in the last week or two that caused me to ask the question, why are we going through everything we're doing and talking about what a healthy church is? Why as a church are we doing this? Okay, a health check would be a good, okay. And I came up with a few options. The first one would be education. Okay? Wisdom. Kind of like education, but not really. Knowing how to act in church. Would that be a legitimate? Okay? To know not how to act in church. Okay? These were four things that just kind of popped off the top of my head. What would you say would be the reason for the importance for us to talk about these things? Yes, ma'am. Okay, very good. And anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
If you don't talk about things, they tend to decay and they get bigger.
Okay, absolutely. Okay. Anybody else? Yes.
If you don't know, then you don't know.
Okay, if you don't know, you don't know. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yes, sir. Right.
So, you know, those responsibilities and all that is part of, I guess.
Yeah, that's all part of it, right. Absolutely. Yes.
Two thoughts. The Bible says that you are to teach the whole counsel of God.
Right.
And the Bible gives clear instructions for the church, so you're doing that.
Okay. Okay.
And children should be taught what they are, and everybody should know similar.
Okay. Anybody else? All good answers. Yes, ma'am.
Also, like, the people are part of what makes up the church, and if the people in the church don't know what they're doing wrong, then they can cause division.
Okay. All right. Great answer. Okay. Anybody else? Yes. Okay. Man, you guys are so smart. Anybody else?
Well, God is a God of order.
Okay.
We know that from creation all the way through.
Right.
So he has an order and function for the
church. For the, yes, absolutely, yes.
Well, yeah, I was thinking that as a church, we're all part of Christ's body. And each one of us has a work to do, a function, a purpose,
okay,
to help make the church healthier and, yeah, be responsible.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yes.
If the church is not reflecting Christ, then we're not doing our job correctly.
Okay. Yes.
I
Okay. Okay. All great answers. But the encounter that I told you that I had recently, was one of why doesn't the church love me the way I expect them to love me? What's wrong with that statement?
It's about me instead of about the
Lord. Okay. Anybody else? Yes.
Well, yeah, part of it kind of is that prideful thought, but the other part of it is maybe that person doesn't understand how the church loves or what's expected to be at the church.
Okay. Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. Okay. Yeah, Chris?
Because they want everybody to orbit around them.
Okay. And see, the problem is when we do a study like this, we should not approach it as though, okay, the church is supposed to act like this. How should we approach every one of these responsibilities we've talked about so far? Exactly. This is my responsibility. It is my responsibility to love. It is my responsibility to pray for one another. Does that responsibility change if somebody doesn't, well, if somebody isn't nice to me? It does not change your responsibility. One of the things that, I did the wedding yesterday, and I always do premarital counseling for, I always bring up this thought is, as married couples, we are commanded to love our wives and respect, we are commanded to respect our husbands. Does that mean if my wife doesn't love me, I don't have to respect?
No, I don't.
You know what I mean. Okay. If my wife doesn't respect me, it does not release me from my obligations to still love her. But what happens in the church? Exactly, exactly, and so often, what do we do? We take our toys and go home. They hurt me, so I'm quitting church. Is there a problem there? See, that is not being part of the body. See, you know, like your. Your kidney, you know. You know, when it quits working, it affects what? Your whole body. You know, and so with this encounter that I had, it was just something. It just brought home the importance that we as a church have responsibility, and it's not the church's responsibility. It's every individual within the church, because the church is made up of people, right?
Yep.
And it's each of ours responsibility to do the work of the ministry. Yep. Any questions before we go on? I'm hot. Anybody else hot?
No?
Okay. I'll just suffer. I'll just suffer in silence then.
Take
your coat off. Yeah, no, I got my mic is, well, I can hook that to my belt. I'm just burning up.
Well. There you go.
And y'all can see my pretty white shirt. Okay. So anyway, it was a thought that I had, and I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't going crazy, and I just wanted to kind of talk about that this morning, or this evening, and to see what everybody else was thinking as well. okay.
Exactly.
And yes. Good. Well said. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start reading in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors, excuse me, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfecting, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature, I'm trying to read too fast, and of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby we lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and for the work you do in our lives. And we do ask that you would challenge us in your word. Help us, dear God, to draw close to you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. This week's subject, the next thing that we're going to talk about, the next responsibility of the local church is to bear each other's burdens. Bear each other's burdens. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, brethren, if ye be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. The word bear here, before I give you the definition, anybody want to take a guess at what it means? Yes.
To have?
Yeah, no, a little more involved than that.
Big scary animal?
I'm sorry?
Oh my gosh. Big scary animals. I'm sorry, I'll leave her at home next time.
Yes. Okay, gives the idea of carrying something, bearing the load, yeah, okay. All right, anybody else? Okay, I'll read you the definition. To endure something unpleasant or difficult, whether on one's behalf or on the behalf of someone else. So if we are to bear someone else's burden, then we are to carry their load. Right? We are to go through that unpleasant event on their behalf or with them. What is a burden? Okay, we are to bear someone's burdens. Okay, a burden is a hardship, something difficult, a heavy concern, a problem that maybe somebody is going through. We are to bear one another's burdens. Now, let me say this. It's hard to bear someone's burdens if you don't know they have a burden. Right?
Yes.
Okay? So, let's see, how do I want to say this?
That's why Secret Sisters.
Okay, Secret Sisters is an incredible way to help carry those burdens. What's another way?
When I'm stressed out about something with the kids or they're traveling and I'm able to reach out to have more people praying so that I know that it's not just me praying or thinking about the welfare of my children.
Right. So we would call that a support group, right? You know, a group of friends, sometimes family, that you can reach out to and say, hey, can you help me pray for Kip? He's an idiot. He's driving all the way, to Utah and back in a car that shouldn't make it, you know. No, I'm teasing Kip. You know I love you, man. But no, that's, yeah. Okay, what's another way?
Speaking to them.
Okay, getting to know people. And that is really where I wanted to go with this, is it is our responsibility to know each other. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. It is our responsibility to talk and interact and periodically ask people, hey, how can I be praying for you? I'm trying to remember who. I got a text. I forget who was now. I got a text the other day from a young person in our church and said, Pastor, how can I pray for you today? And who was it? Anybody? Okay, that was you. Okay, a young person, you know. But no, we should be doing that. Just randomly text people and say, hey, how can I be praying for you today? Or this week, or whatever. That's an important part of bearing burdens. Yes.
That's why coming on Wednesday.
Yes.
For prayer.
Coming for Wednesday prayer time is super important because you hear of people's needs, and then you can share your needs, and we can pray for each other. It is so important, so important. Hebrews, we've talked about this before. It's been a few weeks, but we're going to read it again. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, we talked about this a few weeks ago, but the reality is this. Every day, the world gets a little bit worse, does it not?
Yeah.
And we are seeing the day approaching. And if there's ever been a time where we need each other, it is right now. We need each other. And I cannot, again, I cannot overemphasize the need for prayer. It is vital that we pray for one another. I want to say this, though. We have the ultimate burden bearer, do we not? Who's that?
Jesus Christ.
Now we have a command here to bear one another's burdens. But the reality is we don't always know the burdens of everybody around us. But we can point them to the burden bearer. I have a book. I brought it with me. It was written by a friend of mine that went through. It's Paul Chappell. He pastors a church down in California of several thousand people, and huge ministry, incredible. You know, I don't know how he does it, but anyway, he had a physical breakdown, not a nervous breakdown, but a physical breakdown. His body just quit working. I mean, he would tell his brain, "Hey, pick your arm up," and his arm would just hang there. He couldn't move. His body just said, "You're done." And he ended up having to go on a long sabbatical. Was it three, four months? Yeah, something like that. And during that sabbatical, he wrote this book. And I don't talk about this much because it's not that I'm embarrassed by it, but I just don't talk about it. There was a time several years ago that I was about as depressed as somebody could be. I don't know what a nervous breakdown looks like, but I was probably close to having a nervous breakdown. And my wife came to me. She's like, "Rick, you need to call someone and ask for help." And I said, "Who am I going to call?"
Right.
And the reality is, Conan, you can verify this, I had all the answers.
Because we're pastors.
We're pastors. I know. I knew what was wrong with me, and I knew how to fix me, but I couldn't fix me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So why should I call someone who's going to tell me what I already know?
Yeah.
And my wife got worried, and she threw me under the bus. I say that, but she reached out to a pastor friend of ours that actually did go through a nervous breakdown. And he called me. And he asked me, he says, "Hey, you wouldn't happen to have the book called The Burden Bearer?" And to be perfectly honest, I was sitting at my desk, and I keep a stack of books about this big of books I need to read. And I looked across, and sure enough, it was sitting there right on top of the stack. I had it. And he said, "Lock yourself in your office and read it." So I did. And I will say this, apart from the Word of God, this book changed my life more than any book I've ever read other than this book. It's an incredible book if you're going through a hard time. I want to read you a section, just a portion of this book. Hey, you like my bookmark? Oh, you like my bookmark? Yeah, I could use it on myself, yeah. No, Leo gave this to me. Stress adds spice to life, does it? Stress adds spice to life. Think about it. A life with no stress would be void of victory and conquest. That makes sense. It would be empty of suspense and challenge. We need stress. It's a good thing. And many of you are probably sitting out there going, "No." But it is. It is. Okay? But as helpful as some stress may be, we do have a tipping point. Too much stress is like being on the heavy side of a teeter-totter. You can't get off the ground no matter how hard you try, except perhaps for a brief jump to expend all your energy. Dr. Richard Swenson calls too much stress overload. In his book, Margin, he cites areas of overload that burden our lives. Individually, we may be able to manage any one of them, but collectively, we do not have enough time, energy, or emotion, strength to continually juggle all of them. Activity overload. He gives a list of different things that cause overload. Activity overload. Change. How many of you like change? Yeah, not too many of us. choices, commitment, debt. That's a huge one. Decisions. Making decisions for some people is incredibly difficult. Expectations, fatigue, hurry, information, media, noise, people, possessions, technology, traffic, work. How many of those can cause stress in your life? All of them. Stress has become an epidemic. The American Stress Institute, I didn't know there was such a thing as American Stress Institute, but there is. They wrote a report that stress is responsible. Now get this. Stress is responsible for 250 million lost work days per year. Additionally, 75 to 90% of all doctor visits are of the stress-related complaints. Would you agree, Terry? 75 to 90% of all doctor visits are related to stress in one way or another. It is estimated that American companies spend at least $300 billion annually due to stress-related accidents, absentees, or attrition as a result of workplace stress. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, more than 23 million Americans suffer from some form of anxiety disorder. That's an incredible number. While someone lives with some stress level, there can be no doubt that we live in a day when stressors have reached levels in Christians' lives. Among full schedules, heavy demands, and never-ending urgencies, we easily find ourselves in a chronic state of depletion with no reserves. We may be able to handle some stress on our own, but we do have a tipping point. Once you've been past yours, the burden of stress becomes unsustainable. And that's just a small portion of the book. My point is this: stress is a real part of life. And the church should be a place where people can come to get away from that. The church should not be the source of stress. It should be the place where we go to find peace and safety. And if we are actively carrying each other's... my thing is just freaking out on me. Hold on. No, shut up. Stop that. the church should be the place where we can come and our burdens be carried by someone else. Because we all have burdens, do we not? Every one of us. I mean, I'm looking out over here and I know many of your burdens. I don't know them all, but I know some of them. Some of you are carrying some pretty heavy burdens right now. And this should be the place where we could come and a brother or sister in Christ put their arm around you and say, hey, you know what? I don't know exactly what's going on in your life, but let me pray with you. Is there anything I can do to help carry the burden? Now, let me say this. One of the most frustrating things that people say to me, when I know that you are in a hard time, and I come to you and say, hey, is there anything that I can do? What do most people say?
No, I'm fine.
I'm fine. You know what you did? You just lied to your pastor.
Sorry.
Okay? And not only that, you lied to God. And not only that, but you denied me the privilege of helping carry your load. Because the reality is this, I know many of you here, and I know that I can make a phone call and I can say, hey, I need help, and you will be there on a dime, right? But you will rob me of that privilege? And you'll rob your brothers and sisters in Christ of doing the same for you? Shame on you. Yes.
Satan tells us not to be a burden. And we buy into it.
And pride.
Pride is definitely part of it.
That's Satan's fault too.
We blame Satan for a lot, okay? Just saying. turn if you would in your Bibles to 1 Peter. Chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. It says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lord over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders, yea, all of you are subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction that accomplished the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren, that are in the world. Look at verse 7 and 8. I don't believe these two verses are back to back accidentally. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan wants us to live a stressed life. Satan wants us to live a non-victorious life. He wants us to live in a world that is beyond our ability to function in. Have you ever thought about this? Probably not. But I asked a doctor one time, what day of the week are most heart attacks occurring on? Huh? Monday? Okay. Anybody?
Wednesday.
Huh?
Wednesday.
Wednesday? No.
Sunday.
It's Sunday. And more specific than that, it's Sunday afternoon.
Oh, man. After you go to church.
Yeah. After you go to church, you get yelled at. Yeah. No, do you know why?
Getting ready for Monday.
People, their anxiety levels go up on Sunday afternoons because now you're getting back into that work mode. I remember one time Melanie and I went on vacation, and we were driving home from California. I think it was California. Anyway, it had to have been California because we got to Bishop. You know where Bishop is? Okay.
Yes.
We got to Bishop, and she looks at me and she says, "You're in pastor mode, aren't you?" And I'm like, yeah. Ooh, ouch. No, what had happened? No, we'd been on vacation. I'd been on vacation mode. And about halfway home, guess what? All of a sudden, I'm starting to think about, okay, now tomorrow, I've got to do this. And she's like, "Snap out of it. We're not home yet." But that's what happens. And that's exactly how Satan wants us to live. Yes. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Yes. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, the title of this book, The Burden Bearer, is the whole premise of the book is Jesus Christ is the one that we cast our burdens on. And he talks about how to do that. But anyway, that's how we do it. We give our problems to God. Now, you know, I've used this illustration many, many times, but I want to say it again because it is such a good illustration of the word cast here. You know, when we think of the word cast, what do? We throw out a fishing line, and then we reel it back in, right? And we throw out a fishing line, we're casting, right? And we're reeling in, cast. This word here, when it says to cast your burdens upon the Lord, it literally means to cast it and then cut the line. So you can't reel it back in. That's how we do it. But oftentimes, what do? We'll go to God and we'll say, "Okay, here, God, I'm going to give you this burden." But then we never really totally let go, do we? And we hold on to it, and then after a while, next thing you know, we're wearing it again. the idea of sober here. When in verse 8 it says, be sober. What comes to your mind when you think of that? Okay, clear thinking. That's exactly what it means to have a clear mind, to be able to have self-control. If we are impaired, we have no self-control, right? I came across a definition. It says to curb the controlling influence of excessive emotion or desire, and therefore become reasonable. Conceived of sobering up sobering up from the influence of alcohol. So to be sober is to be able to think clearly. Now, you know, we oftentimes we think of more oftentimes of alcohol or marijuana or something like that as a way to be impaired. But are there other ways in our lives that we can be impaired other than children? I saw a bumper sticker under the influence of children. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I'm backing off that car. Okay, medications, absolutely. You know, doctor, I had a doctor one time with my migraines, gave me some medication, and I went back to him. I said, Doc, you got to get me off this stuff. It's messing with me. I cannot think clearly. Anything else?
Social media,
absolutely is going to mess you up. Yes.
This is a big one for me because I have ADHD and my attention span can be absolutely horrible. Just anything that makes noise or moves, that can make you go, oh, what's that?
Yeah, squirrel.
Exactly.
Yeah, yes.
Sleep deprivation.
Sleep deprivation is huge. It's huge. Yes. Oh, absolutely. They can all influence us. To be sober, to have the ability to think clearly. The idea of being vigilant here is to stay awake or alert. So we are to be clear-minded, alert. Why? Because we have an adversary that wants to destroy us. The truth is this. Satan wants us to fret and to worry. That's what Satan wants us to do. Now, fret is a southern word that my father-in-law taught me that kind of encompasses a lot of things. But that's exactly what God wants us, or what Satan wants us to do. How does God want us to live our lives?
Peaceful.
Peaceful. Lives of victory. Right? You know, that's what God wants us. He wants our lives to be full of joy. And if we are fretting over the things of this world and the problems of the world and, well, what if this and what if that and let me say this, and I read this somewhere recently, and I can't remember where I read it, but anyway, the author of the article I was reading said this. He said, I don't believe that God ever designed our minds for the internet. I mean, think about it. 50 years ago, if you lived in Fernley, what did you worry about? Fernley. You know, maybe the state of Nevada, if you were super in tune with things. People 100 years ago did not care about what happened outside their communities. But now we can watch live things happening anywhere in the world. disasters. I mean, this morning, my wife and I at breakfast were watching video clips of tornadoes that hit all over the Southeast. You know, our minds are not built like that. We don't have the capacity to absorb all of that and not be affected. But that's exactly what Satan wants to do. He wants to cloud our minds with all of this stuff and get us so we fret and worry. And the cry of Jesus Christ says, hey, give it to me. I can carry that load. I'm out of time. Well, I still have a couple minutes, but any questions? We got about 3 minutes before we normally quit. Any questions? No? Yes.
Yeah, I'm finding the problem that I have is like you two, you know, they're saying about the end of the world and all that stuff. You have to be careful what you listen to.
You have to be so careful what you listen to. So careful. Anybody? Okay. If you're interested, I checked. There's a couple of copies of this book. If you're interested, I think we have a couple left in the bookstore. If you're interested, they're $400 a piece.
Worth every penny.
Yes. Yeah. I'll even come and read it for that price. Okay. Read it out loud to you. No, serious. I think they're $10. I think I looked yesterday. I think they were $10. And but I tell you what, the book is very well written. And it helped me a lot when I was in a very, very dark place in my life. So let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Dear Lord, thank you for this time together. And Lord, thank you for this incredible reminder that we need to be there for each other, that bearing one another's burdens is not a suggestion, but it's a command. But Lord, thank you for being the ultimate burden bearer. Well, so very thankful for that. God, help us to walk with you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, announcements here real quick.